All right, we had a prayer meeting the other night, and it was a prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting. You missed it if you weren't here. I know people had plans. Some people were exhausted. Some people were fighting illnesses. Some people probably had grandbabies being born. Okay. Are they all boys? They're all boys. They have seven grandboys. And we had a prayer meeting, and it was powerful. And before the prayer meeting started, some of the young adults gave little 5 and 10 minute sermons that Dan and Alicia assigned them to do. Now I taught preachers for them years ago. It was 9 weeks. You had to sit through it. And then at the end, you get to give a little sermon and we would film you and then we would critique you. Nobody had any training. Nobody sat through preachers for them. Nobody listened to me tell them all the stuff to do and not do. And they got up here and I was blown away by how good the messages were. And so in a couple of weeks, y'all are going to get to hear them too. And so we're going to have some of the young adults up here doing that. And it was really great. And so they came and they gave their sermons and I listened to them. And then I was here and prayer started at 5 o'clock. And whoever was in the room, we just started praying. And Janine had a word, resurgence, bringing back to life. Bringing something back to life, she said. God hadn't changed his mind. She didn't just have a word. She had a word, a whole word. This is a healing center. People are going to come in and be physically healed. People are going to be set in their right minds. There's going to be glory. The glory of God will have a place of prominence here. There will be a shaking throughout the county. We will send people to minister from this place. God hasn't changed his mind, but we aren't changing ours, she said. See, it's important that we be in agreement with God. And that sounds like, you know, a given, like, well, everybody, but think of all the ways we're not in agreement with God. And so we can't change our mind if he has said it. Nothing is beyond your reach, the Lord said through her. We need to pick up anything we've laid down that he has said. Waves of glory will wash over us. There will be glory and beauty, and that we are to operate with passion, purity and his presence. There will be an inflowing of people, and she rebuked death in every form. And then we had a powerful time of prayer. And then toward the end of prayer, Keith spoke out in a tongue. It was a powerful tongue. The Holy Spirit was on it. You can pray in tongues. It does not need to be interpreted. But there is a gift of tongues that when you speak, it requires and needs an interpretation according to the Bible. And how do you know? You just know. The people who know, know. Soon you'll know. If you're around people who know, you'll know. And so if you know, you know. And so he gave a tongue and it needed an interpretation. We waited for a minute and none came. And so Keith began to put words to it. Now listen to this. And actually he put some words to it that were what he was feeling about the tongue. But we knew that wasn't the full interpretation. But nobody else had anything. So he was saying, I feel like God is saying, okay. And then Paul was at the front. And what did you do? Hesitate? Okay, he was hesitating. So in his hesitating, Keith tried to give us what he thought the Lord was saying. But then when Paul quit hesitating, he gave the actual interpretation. And he said, I have heard your tears. I have heard your cries. You have spoken from your own heart, says the Lord, and you have spoken what you have heard from me. You have flown in the same vein that I've been moving in. You have held on, and it hadn't been easy. You have come into agreement with my heart. You have asked, but you've also listened, and you've been obedient to my word. You will have dreams and visions and prophetic unctions. I have called, you have answered. I have called, you have answered. My presence is the answer. And I felt there was something especially on that for Julia. And you will have dreams and visions and prophetic unction, Julia. Expect it. More is coming. More is coming. And so then I told Julia, Julia, there's something in that for you. And she started to pray. And she prayed that the glory would rain down, that every tear cried would not be in vain, that people would step beyond the veil. They would know him so intimately, and that God, she prayed that he would send people who are all in. Are you all in? See, if we're going to pray for people who are all in, my question is, are you all in? If you're not tithing, you're not all in. If you're not obeying the last thing God told you, you're not all in. So if we're praying for people who are all in, we got to lead the way and we got to be all in. She prayed for people who would leave the things of the world behind and be desperate for God. She thanked God for the Joshua generation that would have no stain upon them, that God would purify his bride, and that like Joshua, after all the battles, there would be rest all around him. There would be purity, that they would walk in character, that they would have no fear of anything but the Lord, and that they would move from glory to glory, and it would spread like wildfire. And then she ended with, "Search our hearts first, O God. Search our hearts first, O God." The power of God was all over it. When I'm listening to the recording of it, I'm sobbing and heaving so loud, it's hard to hear some things. You know, you can have a word and you can have the Spirit, but when you pair the word and the Spirit, there's a power that comes. So we invite you to prayer on the first Sunday of every month. Maybe later we'll have it more often, but right now it's the first Sunday of every month. But this morning I want to talk about something. I've preached this message before, but I want to alter it a little bit for this morning. Cammie's not in the room. We need to pray for her. She is not well. She had to go to the ER yesterday for the same thing that happened last week. We prayed for four different people. We prayed for Jack. He's here. We prayed for the Ello family. They're here. We prayed for Tim and for Bibi. They're here. We got one more to go, and that's Cammie. We want these physical attacks, these infirmity things to quit happening at their home in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel 22:30. The Bible says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap." There's a gap. So there's a gap between what was happening and what needed to happen, and it needed to be filled. Does anybody have that going on in their life? There's a little gap between what's happened in your life and what needs to happen, between what God said and what he said in his word and what's happening in your life, between what God promised and spoke prophetically and what's happening. See, in his word, God tells us how to fill the gap. So today we're going to talk about how we fill the gap. And, you know, it's interesting to me that when I taught this before, I taught it the very last Sunday of the year many years ago, and it's called Let's End with Prayer. You ever heard people go, "Let's end with prayer"? See, that's our problem. We're ending with prayer instead of beginning with prayer. That's the problem. See, I mean, I'm not against ending a meeting with prayer. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But my point is, sometimes we just use prayer as a tack on. After everything's said and done, let's just pray. No, sometimes we're praying only because something happened. Like, Cammie sick, let's pray. Oh, Tim's in the hospital, let's pray. Yes, we send out prayer requests on the prayer chain, and we want you to pray. But sometimes we need to pray preventive prayers. See, why do we wait to eat healthy until we're sick? See, we need to do the same thing with prayer. We need to eat and live in a way that we can stay well instead of just pray after we get sick. And so there's all these things that we're reactive. We're defensive prayers. We're not an offensive team. We're defensive prayers. And God wants us to be on the offense against the enemy instead of always on the defense. And so, in my talk, I have a full set of braces on, people. I'm 74 years old. I'm the oldest person in the orthodontist office. And I said, "Y'all, I preach for a living. How can you do this to me?" But I'm going to make it through. For 1 year, we're doing this. Okay. So, you know what? The devil is more convinced of the power of prayer than we are, because he tries really hard to get us not to pray. Really hard. I can preach about prayer for an hour easier than I can pray for an hour. I can worship for an hour easier than I can pray for an hour. It's just the truth. I'm sorry, you know, you can stone me and say, "Y'all, you shouldn't be a pastor." But it's, you know, Dan one time told us that he would set an alarm every morning and pray in tongues for 1 hour. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like good for 5 to 8 minutes. See, the devil is convinced of the power of prayer, and he wants to keep us from it. He wants it out of our schools. He wants it out of our government. He succeeded pretty much. He wants it out of our homes. He wants it out of our personal lives. And he even wants it out of some churches. Do you know that when we were in our other location many years ago, we had Wednesday night prayer meeting every single Wednesday night. And one of the pastors of something, something Baptist Church, okay, here in our area, a huge church, would come to our prayer meetings. And he says, "I love y'all's prayer meetings." He goes, and it would be packed. And he goes, "At our church, we'd have to like serve barbecue or something to get this many people on a Wednesday night to a prayer meeting." And I mean, you see, people will come to a fellowship thing. They'll come to, you know, we'll serve food. But pray, we're going to have prayer. Oh. Now, prayer is not fun if you just sort of sit there and wait for other people to pray. But everybody participated the other night. And see, they let the Holy Spirit put something on the inside of them. And then you just prayed it. Now, if you're leading, I've told people, if you're leading, you can't sit there and wait. You got to start with something. So start with His word. And one time, I'm going to tell it. Dan and Alicia were supposed to lead the prayer meeting because Alan wasn't here, wasn't going to lead. And they just sat in the back waiting for God to tell them something. And they just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And I said, y'all cannot do that. They go, but, you know, you told us when the Holy Spirit bubbles up, but He didn't really bubble up with anything. I go, when you're leading, just start with the word. That'll work. So you got to start create a stream. The rest will come. But but in Genesis, God created the earth and God created man, the Bible says. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God says, Adam, I give you dominion over all the works of my hand. God didn't say, I, God, will have dominion. He said, Adam, you will rule. You will rule. So Adam was delegated the lordship over this earth. But he was deceived by Satan. And in Adam selling out to Satan, he broke his contract, his covenant, like Laura mentioned, with God, so to speak. And Satan then became the God of this world. So even now, Satan has dominion unless we exercise our dominion rights, unless we interfere, unless we intervene, unless we use the authority we've been given, he will keep control. And so God's will is brought to earth as we take our place in this process that is mystifying in some ways. God has chosen to involve us in getting his will done on earth. You have a part to play. It's not all up to God. And why? How do we know his will? By his word. By his word. Drives me crazy when people go, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. And I go, well, I hope to God you haven't taken an aspirin because you could be moving against God's will. And they go, I'm going to call the doctor, but I'm not, do you want to pray? Well, I don't know if it's God's will. Well, then why go to the doctor? You're going to fight God's will by going to the doctor? Like, if you think it's really not his will, you shouldn't try to get well in any way, shape, or form. And so that puts to rest that crazy argument. Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He healed all. Find a place where he doesn't want to heal you. You can't. But then if you think it's not his will, why are you taking anything? Why even taking a vitamin? All right. We need to set people in their right minds. Okay, so if we don't pray, God's will won't be accomplished fully. Satan will succeed in his plan of ungodly dominion, and his will get carried out if there is no interference. We're the interfere people. See, by prayer, we bring God's will to earth. See, bring it. People go, bring it. Bring it has a whole new connotation when you think about it. Bring it. You need to be bringing it. God's will to earth all the time. That's your job. I don't have a job. I'm retired. No, bring it. You need to be bringing God's will to earth for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren. So no matter what giftings and talents, no matter how prophetic we are, no matter how anointed the worship is, we must not underestimate the importance of prayer. And our worship is anointed. We are blessed, people. You know they get here an hour before all the rest of us every single Sunday? And Julia works more than that, getting all the lists together. And Dan, she sends the songs to him, and they print them out. Then they send it, and then Chris gets the good car. It doesn't just happen. They didn't just walk up there, and it just happens. Jesus never waited for a crisis to pray. Ooh. He took time to be apart with his Father, just to spend time in his presence. In prayer, we learn to hear the voice of God. In prayer, God strengthens us. Often, our goal is to get an answer. God's goal is to spend time with us. Our goal might be to get an answer. God's goal is to spend time with us, to get us sensitive to his voice. Because how are you going to know his voice when you're out and about and he tells you to do something? How are you going to know his voice when he says, no, don't enter that contract? How do you know his voice? Don't buy that car. How are you going to know his voice? Because you never heard it because you don't spend time with him, because you don't pray. God wants to deepen his relationship with us, and sometimes we just want him to do stuff. He wants us to become familiar with his voice and his ways. Prayer is a conversation, not a monologue. I used to tease Easy because he would pray and he'd go, now, Lord, you know, over in such and such country, they got this. And Easy would recite the news to God and so that God would know what's going on. So that then Easy could tell God, like, what he needed to do to prevent that thing from happening any further. And it was cute. You know, Easy had a sign that said praying. Do you see the praying sign before? I still have it. A piece of typewriter paper marks a lot, praying. He'd tape it on the outside of the guest room door when he's going in to pray, meaning I better not come in. He's with God. So even though he was telling God about the news, he spent time praying. And so God knows what we need before we even ask, but he does want us to converse with him. He wants us to spend time with him. Prayer is a conversation, not a monologue. And if we don't wait to hear from God, we think the conversation is finished when we've said our part. And during these times, we may not even be hearing anything from God. But the devil makes sure that we hear from him loud and clear. He stirs up feelings of unbelief while we're trying to pray. He causes us to doubt the goodness of God that we sang about this morning. He discourages us when there is a delay or our prayers seem to be unanswered. He suggests some kind of helplessness about the situation and tells us it's too big because he wants to eliminate the effectiveness of our prayers. See, if he can do one of those things, he could eliminate the effectiveness. If we listen to him, before we know it, we believe in the problem more than we believe in God's power to solve it. I read an article many years ago by a man named Malcolm Smith. He said, we have been so trained to believe in the power of colds, the power of the flu, the power of cancer, the power of lack, the power of homosexuality, alcoholism, divorce, despair, depression, and 1,000 other words that when they are mentioned, even in a prayer meeting, we feel a drop in the temperature of people's spirits, and we start to wonder if anything in the universe can really help that problem. Many prayer groups, he said, by the time they share the prayer request, often have lost all faith and expectation. After we hear the magnitude of the needs, our minds start going into limitation mode. But in the word that we had at prayer, God said there are no limits. He is not limited. Nothing is off limits with him. So we can never go into limitation mode. And by the time we start to pray, if we're of this ilk, trust and hope are not operating. But we all say all the right words because we're supposed to pray. Save it. My spiritual mother used to go, now anyone who believes, come lay hands. First several months, I stood back. I stood far back when they were praying for somebody who needed healing because I didn't want my unbelief to mess them up because I wasn't in a place I could believe yet. I couldn't believe for physical healing. I couldn't believe for a miracle. I'd not seen one. It was all new to me. I was new in the word. And so they were all praying and I'm like, whoa, and things happened. But then after time, I got filled up and the Lord began to minister to me. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I got to pray too because I could believe. But see, sometimes we are just saying the words and going through the motions, and there's no real faith and belief on the inside. Fear is faith in the wrong object. Fear and dread and discouragement are set against us to knock us out of the game. To fear something is to reverence its power, expecting that it will dominate the situation. When we fear disease, when we fear addiction, when we fear lack, we, in essence, lose hope that it can change. So to fear anything is to say it holds the position of God. Whatever you fear, you're elevating it above God. Like, we wouldn't say these words. We wouldn't say it out loud. But it's like we're going, well, God himself can't change this or do anything about it. We won't say it out loud. But what's going on in our feelings? Feelings. How you feel doesn't change the truth. But until the truth changes the way you feel, you're not going to experience the truth. That's in the emotional healing series. Y'all know that one, right? Did y'all listen to one or two and quit? You're on what? Two? Keep going. I mentioned my emotional healing series and people started. Let's finish. All right. When we have a situation, a problem, a disease, a need that requires prayer, first we must settle in ourselves the fact that God is truly God. When we pray, we must not be in the position of believing in the power of the problem. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he had them begin by realizing and focusing on their relationship with God. He was their father. He loved them, our Father who art in heaven. Then he had them worship him. Hallowed be thy name. Only when we see how great God is will we be in the position to ask the one who is greater than the problem to change a situation, a person, an issue, or maybe something in us. In Acts chapter 4, the early church had been told by the ruling authorities that they could never again speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What if the cops came in this morning? Sheriff's department pulled their guns and go, all right, Epicenter people, never again speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Fort Bend County, you will be punished. You will be jailed. Never again do we want to hear your songs. Never again do we want you quoting scriptures. Never again do we want you going out into the marketplace and praying for anybody. That edict alone was enough to shut the church down forever. But when Peter and John reported to the others the threat they had been given, they responded by praising God and proclaiming how great he was. Didn't stop them. And by the time they even mentioned the problem, they were empowered to see it through God's eyes. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. See, the devil works overtime to stop people. We don't even have to have authorities come in. We have a million little authorities in our head that you can't do that. Don't go out there. Don't say that. They'll used to. What if they say they don't want prayer? What if they, what if they think you're a fanatic? You don't want to act like you're a fanatic. You know, what if they think ill of you? What if you go into that store and then you know the salesperson and you want to buy something and now you're embarrassed because you already talked about God? What are all those voices in your head? You have to build yourself up, and you do this how? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Dan, we don't know if we can make an hour, but we will try for a little while. Now, I'm not going to go into it today. There's many kinds of prayer. Prayer is not all lumped into one prayer. There's a lot, like you go, I don't know how to pray. There's so many ways to pray, you're practically going to fall into one of them without even trying. There's the prayer of faith. Wait, let me go back. There's the prayer of salvation. You pray to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and you invite him into your life to be the Lord and you acknowledge that he paid the price for your sins and that he was raised from the dead and that your salvation is because of him. And like Kirk talked about righteousness, you are righteous because of only what he did, not what you can do. So the prayer of salvation. And then there's the prayer of faith. Just the prayer of faith. People, sometimes people come right in, they're just like childlike faith, and they just believe for stuff, and it just happens. And you go, how come those new believers are getting all those answers? Because they don't have any framework for discouragement or any failure, and they're just like, God said it. I had the young people come to me and go, we just read that you can go and lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. I go, do it. And they get out, and they did it. And they came back telling me all the people that God healed. Then you have the prayer of consecration, where you just commit something to God. You have the prayer of commitment. You have the prayer of agreement, where two or more of you agree, or you can just agree with something God has said over you and about you. You have corporate prayer, which I do love when it's powerful. You have the prayer of thanksgiving, like we were doing this morning. You have the prayer of petition, where you are asking for something, and it's okay, but wait and listen to see what else God might have to say. You have intercessory prayer, where you're praying through a problem until you feel that the Holy Ghost is in it and that you've made some kind of entrance in the Spirit and you've made a difference. Then you have praying in the Spirit. You have praying for protection. Easy used to do this constantly. We'd get in the car. Lord, we just thank you that on this trip, I mean, if we go the shortest distance and that you station angels around it, and I'm like, this is so crazy. But you know what? We never had a wreck. All the 47 years we were married, never. He used to pray over his body, all the parts of his body. He'd practically name them, like the ones he knew. He wasn't real medical, but like the ones he knew, he prayed. And they lasted really a long time in good health. The doctors go, what prescriptions are you on? He goes, eye drops. They go, what else? That's it. Eye drops. Until the end. That praying over his body, there was something to it, huh? Prayer for guidance. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to go there. I don't know if I'm supposed to move there or do that or take that job. Prayer of binding and loosing. Prayer of supplication, prayer of relinquishment, letting go of things. See, there's a lot of different kinds of prayer. But I was supposed to say this a long time ago. Let's see. Let's do it real quick. I've had my third water damage thing at my house in the last 18 months. We have a ceiling that fell in after the water heater leaked all over it upstairs, so it tore up the downstairs. I couldn't even get in my office to get my notes because it's taped off and because a 10-foot by 4-foot piece of the ceiling is out. I was in there shoveling insulation with the workers into bags. We had 8 contractor bags full of insulation that we brought out. It was quite interesting this week, but I couldn't get to my notes, so I did what y'all do. I went to the internet. These are scriptures on prayer. You go, how do I find out about prayer? It's all over the Bible, people, all over. First John, I'm not going to say what they say. 1 John 5:14, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5:15, 1 Chronicles 16:11, 2 Chronicles 6:21, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Ephesians 6:18, praying in the spirit. Jeremiah 29:12, Job 22:27, Luke 11:2-4, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. John 17:15, James 5:13, Mark 11:24. That's Easy's favorite scripture. Matthew 6:7, when you pray, don't babble like the pagans with many words for show. It doesn't mean don't speak in tongues. It doesn't mean you don't talk in a heavenly language. It means don't pray for show. Some people, they want to compute their prayer in there so that when they say it, everybody will be impressed by their prayer. Nobody cares. I was crying with guttural crying when I was praying the other night. I'd rather be doing that than calculating the beauty of my words. That accomplishes nothing. But when the Holy Spirit falls, he changes hearts just by a word. Just by a word, because there's something on that word. It's not just an empty word. It's a word full of his power. Proverbs 15:29, he hears the prayers of the righteous. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Psalm 17:6, Psalms 102:17, Psalm 141:2, Romans 12:12, be faithful in prayer. Matthew 6:9-13, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 6:12, Jesus praying all night. Luke 18:1, pray and don't give up. Like Easy's book, Never Give Up. Romans 8:26, the Spirit praying through us. Philippians 4:6, Colossians 4:2, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. 1 Timothy 2:8 and James 5:16, and I got tired of writing, so I just wrote those only. But in every kind of prayer, in all that we named, don't forget to listen for what God may be saying, because prayer is not just a one-way street. See, when the power of God came in our prayer meeting, people were not just praying what was on their mind. Now, let me be clear, because sometimes if I say one thing, you think I'm saying another thing is wrong. There was a time during the prayer meeting we prayed for Tim and for Bibi, and Tim was in the hospital, and we said what was in our mind. It's not like the Holy Spirit goes, Tim and Bibi. No, like I worried about them. I was at the hospital. I knew he needed prayer. Don't kill me for saying the word worried. Okay, I cared. Okay, we prayed for Tim and Bibi. We prayed for Cammy. We prayed for the Ellos. We prayed for Josiah. See, we prayed for different people. It's okay to do that. But then there's a time when your prayer goes into another level. It goes to another place. And it's not anything that's on your mind. It's not what's going on around you. It's not what you're thinking. It's like the Holy Spirit bubbles up. And so he starts to pray through you. And so it's not always just in tongues, though. There's English given to it. There are times when people start to vibrate around me, and I'm like, okay, what do you got? And they go, I don't know, I just feel the Holy Spirit. I go, try to put words to it. Okay, and sometimes that's how they learn how to release what the Lord is putting on them. And at times it's halting at first, but then they get more. Didn't I used to do that with you? You would cry, and you'd bend over, and you'd feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, and you'd feel this burden for somebody, and I'd go, put words to it, okay? And she'd go, it's, and she'd get like 3 or 4 words, you know, and but it would build. And so God may have something to say, and he will never speak anything that's not in line with his word, but he might tell you something you need to know, something you need to do, something you need to understand, or maybe he'll just tell you he loves you and it's going to be okay. And know that Jesus expects you to pray, or he would not have said when you pray. But no matter if we listen to sermons on prayer, they won't do us any good unless we pray. I need to increase my prayer life. My talking life is great. I can talk to you on the phone all day about what's going on in your life. My talking life is great. They told me, oh, you have a small mouth. I'm like, mouth. People that know me would not think that. Okay? My talking life is great, but my prayer life needs to increase. Maybe yours does. I can counsel you for 2 hours, but see, how long can I pray? I can spend time organizing photos into albums better than anybody you've ever seen in your life. But will I give that much time to prayer? I could look at posts on Facebook and watch our reels over and over because I love them. But maybe I need to let go of a few reels and pray. Focused prayer is not easy. When things in your life are hard, you want to rest your mind. I used the voice. Is it even playing anymore? I quit watching it some years ago. Easy and I, our date night would be watching The Voice. I mean, we're cheap dates, okay? Sit on the sofa and watching The Voice. And watching the people sing. We just loved it. But see, it rests your mind to do certain things. And sometimes you think, oh, prayer. But see, it shouldn't be a job. It should be an invitation. Remember when he said, I get to love you in return? I get to love you in return? Not I have to love you in return. I get to love you in return. I get to pray. I get to talk to God. I get to talk to the creator of the universe. I get to talk to him, and he'll talk back to me. That's amazing. Who doesn't want to do that? Prayer is a means to victory, not an area to feel defeated in. So rather than pray out of desperation, or rather than neglecting to pray because of discouragement, or rather than getting tired of praying because of your delay, instead, do these. Decide to pray. With determination and dedication, driving out doubt. I had to get alliteration in here somewhere. Rather than pray out of desperation, rather than neglecting to pray because of discouragement, rather than get tired of praying because of delays to answers, instead, decide to pray. With determination, with dedication, driving out doubt. Knowing that by God's own design, my prayers and my agreement with him are vital in bringing his will to earth, both for my life and the life of those around me. God's house, that's me individually as well as the church corporately. We are the church. This is our building, but we are the church. We shall be called a house of prayer, a house of praise, a house of power. But we won't be a power or house of prayer without prayer. So we need to be first and foremost a house of prayer. Stand up. Let's end with prayer. And it will also begin our life with prayer on a day-to-day basis in all we do. Father, I thank you that you draw us with cords of love that cannot be broken, and you draw us into your presence because you have things to say to us. Lord, we want to listen. We want you to speak to us. We want you to tell us things that we know not. We may have served you for years, and yet there are things on your heart to say to us. Lord, we know that will only happen in prayer and that the devil wants to keep us out of prayer. So, Lord, we just thank you for your invitation, and we're going to RSVP right now, yes. We're going to attend. We're going to come to the party that you're going to have for us. Lord, we're going to be diligent. We're going to get into the habit of prayer, of focused prayer, not just praying on the run, not just the one-sentence prayers, but little times of prayer. And we'll just build it and build it, and then one day we'll be in prayer so long we'll go, how did that happen? And so, Father, we just thank you that we, too, want a sign over our lives that says praying, praying. Praying, 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 and we'll have a litany of answers to share with the world. We'll have testimony after testimony to tell people what's going on. There will be no shortage of victories, and the devil will be defeated in our life.
I just remember a time we had a gentleman come in here a year or two ago, and he was talking about prayer, and it resonated with me for this moment in time. And he said, prayer increases passion. And he said it, and it just, prayer increases passion. Prayer increases perseverance. But I just want to pray that over you guys. So, Lord, we thank you, God. We declare that prayer increases passion, Father God, a passion for you, a passion for your will, a passion to do what you desire, Lord God. Father, we thank you for prayer that increase, Father God, in us in our daily, Father God, to do that, God. And I ask that, Father God, we just submit ourselves to you, God, to do that in our lives and in our day. And, Father God, that you speak to us in the very moments of our day, Father God, and we can increase passion and our desire to do your will, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, a passion to and desire to do your will. Father, you're the one that can do it for us, Lord God, and we just put all our hopes and our love upon you, God. We just thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. I bless you. I glorify you, Father. You're good. You're good all the time. We lift you up in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, God, even now, Father, even now, Lord. So, Lord, we just bless you. Come be with us this Sunday, wherever we go, and be with us through the week, and increase passion in us. In Jesus' name, amen.